many people like to have a party? We do. That last song talked about it being Jesus' birthday. And that's what Christmas actually is. It's Jesus' birthday, and we're celebrating that he came to earth. And we haven't been able to have parties because of COVID as much. But we certainly want to celebrate Jesus. And so I brought some fun activity things here. And we're just going to hand them out to the kids. And then we're going to play a song about it being Jesus' birthday. And I want the adults and the kids to celebrate. It's okay to celebrate. All right. So I'm going to hand this stuff out.
I think all needs one.
Can I have a bit of help with Andy there?
Jesus was born, which is so awesome. So I think while we're going to play the song, and it has words that go with it, and I think we should stand up if we're able. And if you want to dance, that's okay too. All right, so we can go ahead with our video.
Thank you.
now the children are going to head out to our classes and enjoy what their teachers have prepared.
Thanks for joining us. Happy birthday, baby Jesus.
Amen.
You guys can keep the favors.
So we'll stand and sing angels. See that bird go by.
Look at Grandma.
And the mountains in reply, echo and bear.
the dark and cold stormy night, Mary, heavy with child, whispers to Joseph, I can't go on anymore. He wrapped her up in his arms, said, I'll find you someplace that's warm. They were turned away at every door. No room, no room. Story won't live too full to let you in. No space, no place for the baby Jesus. No room. Once again Christmas is here, busiest time of the year. There's a growing list of last minute things to do. Not many shopping days left, still got presents to wrap. People are singing at parties we got to go to.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
I have a few announcements. First of all, there's a rumor going around that the Omicron variant was misnamed. I mean, who should trust anything to Greek names anyway? It really should have been called the Grinch variant. Kind of messing up our Christmas plans, isn't it? Anyway, with that in mind, just want to let you know that the ladies have decided they're not going to open the thrift stop tomorrow, and we'll probably revisit that in the new year. Tomorrow was going to be the last day before Christmas, and a lot of concern about, you know, what's going on and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's wise to kind of review where we are personally, and I think we've been getting on the, I wouldn't say careless side, but maybe a little bit not as aware of some of the precautions that we're supposed to take. And it's a good time to just remind ourselves about social distancing and all the good things that we're supposed to be doing. My hands have never been so clean. Right? Wash, wash, wash. Spray, liquid, gel, whatever. I want to give you an update on the prayer request. Johanna's son, Ron, was in a long, long surgery yesterday, but it's successful. The lung transplant has been completed. And yes, amen. Praise the Lord. And Johanna would like to thank us for our prayers. He will still be in recovery for some period of time, but the results are looking really, really good at this stage. This week is Christmas Eve. right? And so we hope that you'll all be here with us on Friday evening for our Christmas Eve service at 6 o'clock, right? And 6 o'clock, right? Just want to make sure, okay? 6 o'clock. And, you know, our focus this year is not just going to be on celebrating Christmas, but also on a few testimonies of God's presence throughout the year. Because we're coming to an end of what's been an unusual year, to say the least. And I think it's good to take a few minutes to hear what God has been doing in some of our folks' lives. There'll be no service here next Sunday on Boxing Day. We want you to feel free to spend that time with your families. I know a lot of people do opposite side kind of things on that day, so next Sunday we will not have service here. And if you are not here on Christmas Eve, first of all, we will take your name. No, that's not true. But in case you're not here, for extenuating impossible circumstances, Connie and I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And I don't know whether we should wish you a Happy New Year or not, because we're not sure what's happening the day after Christmas. But if we don't get a chance to wish you a Happy New Year in the next few days, Happy New Year. There are a number of people that are going through difficult times, and we want to pray for them in a minute. But I also want to remind you that there is going to be a family movie afternoon that's sponsored by Path of Recovery, and it is going to be on Saturday, Boxing Day, right here at the church from 2 to 4. And it's a movie called Christopher Robin, and it's going to be following all code of protocol. And if you want to get more information, check with Kristen.
Saturday or Boxing Day? Boxing Day is
Sunday. Saturday is Christmas. It's going to be here Christmas. It says December 31st, so that's okay. Christmas afternoon. Sorry about that.
December 31st?
December 31st. What did I say?
New Year's Eve.
Whatever. I leave the poster up for you. Hey, give me a break. I've been driving for over 3 hours this morning. There are some people that are really going through difficult times. Marty's had a really difficult week and is waiting on medical things that require specialists and hospitals, and we know that that can be a serious problem in these COVID days when our hospitals are flooded with COVID cases. And Bunny was in the hospital, and Nancy's going to pick her up this afternoon because the hospital needs the beds. Those are folks typical of people that are just going through some serious problems. Charlene, who used to attend here and now lives in Port Elgin, had a car accident and would appreciate our prayers. So there's lots of people to pray for. Check for our prayer lists, and please remember to pray over them. Lord, we come into your presence this morning. You promised to be here. You promised that your presence would always be with us for those who love you, who cherish you, and who welcome your presence. And we welcome your presence here today. Lord, we know that you are the King who will eventually bring peace on this earth, and how we look forward to those days, because in the meantime, we are troubled on many fronts. We are troubled with another COVID season. We are troubled with all of the rules that go with that. We're troubled because it's difficult to have these great family times that we're so accustomed to. And we're besieged with people who are going through the trials of sickness and problems with getting appointments and so on and so forth. And we rejoice in the good news. We rejoice that Ron is doing well, and we lift up those who are still struggling, and we ask that your healing virtue, Lord, would pour into their lives. There are probably many unspoken requests here today, and Lord, we lift them up before you as well, and we just ask that you will minister to every need. Give us grace to bear what you're taking us through. We ask this in your wonderful name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, here we are, the last Sunday morning before Christmas, and who knows how many shopping days are left, because the stores are only half open, so yeah. Does that count as a whole day? Wow, that requires some thought. I hope that you've noticed by now that I have been intentionally focusing on the theme of welcoming God's presence into our personal lives and the life of the church as we lead up to Christmas. Have you noticed that? I just thought it was an important theme for this time of year. And so it may actually seem strange to be on this theme the last Sunday before Christmas. But I believe that God's presence is so important in these challenging days that it is appropriate and fitting to do so. And so my goal for today, and indeed the remaining days of 2021 and the weeks that lie ahead in 2022, is to encourage you once again to seek, to welcome, and to embrace the supernatural and awesome presence of God in your lives and in the life of our church. As we begin to think about 2022 and the challenges that lie ahead, what would your prayer be for our church? I believe that our priority prayer for our church should be that God's awesome holy presence would dominate our church in everything we do, every program, every activity, every teaching, every life that is part of this body of Christ. You know, when His presence is with us, everything else will fall into place. If His presence is not with us, we labor in vain. You know, when we sense His presence in a powerful way in our lives, His presence makes the Word come alive in a new way. His presence challenges us to live out what the Word says. So often we read it and we fail to put it into action. We struggle with living it out. God's presence in our lives will prompt us to live it out every day. It will prompt us with new respect for the awesome holiness of God and a healthy fear of our all just and holy God. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted." I'd like to begin today by challenging you to take a moment right now and to think back over your life and bring to mind some time or some times in your life when you personally experienced a very powerful sense of God's presence. Maybe, hopefully, even a tangible sense of His powerful, awesome presence. Maybe it was something like a special church service. Perhaps it was when you were experiencing a very difficult time in your life, and in the middle of that struggle, you sense God's presence walking with you. But I trust and I really hope that most of us here today, hopefully all of us, can think back over the years and at least remember one very special time when the presence of God was manifested in a very powerful and dramatic way. And if you can, I'm sure that you will agree with me that those times were very special, very awesome, very precious, very memorable, very necessary to our walk as believers. They were awesome. They were God moments. And I'm hoping that as you think about these, that your heart, along with mine, would long for more times of those awesome visitations of God's supernatural presence. And if there is anyone here who cannot recall such a time, I hope that in the next few minutes, I hope to be able to encourage you to seek for and to welcome and to embrace God's special presence in your personal life and in the life of our church. And for those of you who can recall such amazing times, my hope is essentially the same, that we will be continually seekers of His presence. I hope and I pray that we will not be satisfied with anything less, so that God's plans and purposes for our lives and His plans for our church may be fully realized. As I began to think about what I would share with you during this Christmas season, I realized that there are a number of things that I could have mentioned that are important, but the real question is, what would be the most important thing that I could encourage you to think about leading up to Christmas. And so over the last few weeks, I settled on this theme of encouraging you to be actively seeking the special presence of God in your lives and in our church and in our country. And looking back over my own life, I realized that there were many times that I could have been much more effective for the Lord if I had been more actively seeking and welcoming and embracing that special presence of God in my life. During our years together, Connie and I have had the privilege and the opportunity to worship in, wow, I can't remember how many different churches in different countries. And there were many times when the churches that I served in, the churches that I were part of, could have been far more effective for the kingdom if they had been active seekers of more of God's special presence in the life of the church. There were many times that I could have been more effective. Many times that churches could have been more effective. Our country of Canada and countries around the world could certainly use more of the presence of God. And today our world is in great turmoil. Terrorists continue to make headlines. Russia's poised to invade Ukraine. China's eyeing a takeover of Taiwan. The Iranians continue to build a nuclear arsenal, and the list goes on. COVID variants continue to appear, causing accidental deaths and sickness and on and on and on. But in spite of this, the tragedy is that the world in general and people around seem to be less and less concerned with encouraging and embracing the presence of God in their country, in their homes, and sadly, in their churches. You know, our own communities are rapidly changing. Ontario is markedly different in just the passing of one generation. And one of the obvious markers of change that we witness everywhere is closed churches all over our country. Have you noticed that? They're almost every road. And as we drive through our villages, we see churches that are closing or closed already, and many other churches that are struggling for survival. And unfortunately, what's really sad about that case is there would be many of those people in dwindling churches, attendees who may have been there faithfully over the years, who would not have experienced the tangible presence, awesome presence of God in their lifelong fellowship in that building. Isn't that a tragedy? How can a church be expected to survive and thrive? How can we survive and thrive in the good times? But what about the bad times, the difficult times? How can we be expected to thrive and survive in these difficult times if we're not experiencing the dynamic, awesome presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Glory? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The NLT says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Do you want to experience his power? Do you want to come into a church on a Sunday morning and experience his awesome presence as you enter the building, as we worship together, as we sing together, as we share from the word together, to experience God moving in our lives? See, Paul longed for the supernatural power and presence of the Lord in his life and in his ministry. You see, our entire faith is rooted in the supernatural. Yet all too often we come to church not expecting anything but words and music and prayers rooted only in the natural. Friends, we need to be surrounded by God's awesome presence. We need to be operating in the supernatural, not the natural. We approach our day-to-day life with our natural skills and abilities, forgetting that we have been promised the supernatural presence of the Lord, the one named Emmanuel, the one we can accurately define as God with us, his presence with us. And I hope today that we can together be united in this one cause and this one call to experience his presence and power in amazing ways in 2022. We're certainly in a critical period in history. If there ever was a time for the people of God, and particularly young people who will be people of influence in the coming years, to be seeking the presence of God in their lives, in their churches, and in their country, this is the time. Today I would like to share some important thoughts about the awesome, all-powerful presence of God. First, it's important that we understand some important concepts about the presence of God. As Christians, perhaps one of the few points of theology that all Christians can agree on is the belief that the Bible teaches that God is omnipresent. In simple terms, we believe that God's presence is everywhere. Consider Psalm 139, verse 7 as confirmation. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. In the New Testament, Jesus tells his followers that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in their midst. Today, being Sunday, believers are meeting all around the world, and if we believe that truth from Psalm 139, then the presence of Jesus is here with us. And at the same time, his presence is also distributed completely around the world. My friends in the Philippines have already worshipped. Sunday is just about over for those folks. And then there's people in Kenya, for example, the pastor that I communicate with, you know, they're a few hours different than us. And if we go in the other direction, the people in Vancouver are thinking about waking up right now. And so they will worship later in the day. But the presence of God surrounds his creation. Wherever believers are found, God's presence is with them. But the Bible also teaches us that there are times and places where God's presence is what I would call intensified, amplified, or manifested in awesome ways. There are a number of places, in fact, in many places in the Bible where God's presence is manifested in amazing ways. Now, there are many such occasions, but I want to share just a few to make my point. And I have a lot of material here this morning, so I'm going to read quickly. One of the interesting characteristics of my side of the family is that I came up from a home of people who had German background who learned to talk quickly. I don't know whether that's a characteristic of German people generally, but they learned to talk quickly. And yesterday we were with our family, and my granddaughter was getting together with our other grandkids, and she has picked up this characteristic from her dad. I had to listen carefully to just pick it up. So pay attention now, folks. I'm going to read quickly. In Exodus chapter 3, God's powerful presence is manifested in the burning bush. Moses finds himself in a time and a place where the presence of God is very dramatic and very powerful. And we're going to look at this account beginning at chapter 3, verse 1 from the NLT. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Wow, an angel in the middle of a burning bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it. And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, obviously, God's presence in this situation was far more powerful, far more tangible manifestation than what Moses was experiencing day to day with the omnipresence of God. Case number two. In Numbers chapter 20, we find confirmation that there was a special, dramatic, and powerful presence of God manifested in the tabernacle time after time for the children of Israel that was just part of their experience as they journeyed through the wilderness. And so let's begin reading at verse 6 from the NLT, Numbers chapter 20. Moses and Aaron turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle, where they fell face down on the ground. And then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them. Again, we see here a far more powerful, far more tangible manifestation of the special presence of God than what we experience day to day with the omnipresent nature of God. Case number 3. Let's consider Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 4. Then the man brought me through the north gateway to the front of the temple. I looked and saw that the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord, and I fell face down on the ground. Now, I struggle to understand here exactly what he saw, because when we talk about the glory of the Lord, it's kind of hard to describe in terms of what you might see. But it should be noted here that what he saw was tangible enough that he did see the glory of God with his eyes. It was that powerful. It was that tangible. This wasn't something that he just sensed. The word here says that he saw the glory of God. Isn't that an amazing statement? In case number 4, the New Testament book of Acts, it says there in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. The awesome presence of God. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them this ability. Now there are many other examples in both the Old and New Testament, but these 4 are enough to illustrate the point that I'm trying to make. There are times and places where God's awesome presence, His glory, is manifested in amazing, amazing ways. And so given the conditions that we face in the world today, one of the things that is generally common in all of these cases is that there is a need, there is a serious challenge that needs to be dealt with. A situation or circumstance that is so important, so difficult, that it is obvious that human effort is grossly insufficient, and therefore a supernatural manifestation of the presence of God is required. And we'll see this as a pattern as we look at those case studies that I gave you. And so given the conditions that we face in the world today, and the conditions that we possibly face in the days ahead, we should realize the importance in seeking and welcoming the awesome presence of God in our lives, in our churches, and in our world. The importance of God's presence in our lives cannot be overstated. God's presence is essential. It's critical, and we need to realize that without God's presence, not just His omnipresence, but His special presence, we simply cannot fully achieve what God could do through us as individuals, could do through us as a church. God's presence is critical to both individuals and churches. We may achieve some things. We may achieve some things in our churches, perhaps even what some would consider substantial changes. But without God's presence, not just His omnipresence, but His special presence, we will not achieve what could be possible. So it is essential that we recognize this key principle. So there are 2 major key points that I want you to remember from this teaching this morning. Here's point number 1. In order to maximize our impact for the kingdom, we need to come to the realization that we need God's presence, not just His omnipresence, but His special presence in our ministry. And that's true whether we're considering individual ministry or church ministry. Please make a note of that. It's so important. You need to come to that acknowledgement. You need to agree that this is something we must strive for. Moses was faced with leading his people through the wilderness to the promised land. Logistically, I don't know whether you ever thought about it, logistically, this was an impossible task. So we have the common point revealed here, a need, a desperate need, an impassable situation, probably in excess of 1 million people needing food, water, and protection. And Moses quickly came to the realization that he needed God's special presence. The realization that a special presence is required. I want you to consider very carefully his words from Exodus chapter 33, beginning at verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people." Yeah, take these 1 million people and bring them to the promised land. That's kind of the easy part, isn't it? "But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. And yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor in my sight." Maybe Moses was hoping for some strong soldiers. Maybe he was hoping for some additional strong leaders. "God," he says, "you haven't told me who you're going to send with me." And then he says, "Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight." God, I'm looking for a sign here. How is this going to happen? Remember, God, consider too, this nation is your people. And God said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Take it easy, Moses. Don't sweat it here, Moses. It's only 1 million people. My presence is going to go with you. Moses was looking for a sign. God said, "My presence is going to be with you." And what's really interesting is what Moses says then. He says to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring me up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" I want you to notice the significance of what Moses is saying here. He says, "God, if your presence goes with us, we will be different than every other nation on the face of the earth. We will be distinct. We will be known by your presence going with us." Folks, that is an objective that we need to be seeking for. Moses knew as well as anybody that God was omnipresent, but Moses had already had several experiences where a special presence of the Lord was required to deal with the difficult situation at hand. The special presence of God in the burning bush was necessary to convince Moses to take up the challenge. Time after time, in confrontation with Pharaoh, Moses relied on a special manifestation of God's presence and power to deal with the situation. And so Moses realizes from his past experiences that the challenge in front of him is hopeless without the special presence of God. So take note, folks, of this bold position that Moses says. He says to God, "Unless you assure me that your presence is going to go with me, we're not going." There's a note of desperation embedded in his words. Desperation is not always a bad thing, because it frequently means we have come to grips with the realization that without his presence, our work is indeed in vain. So that brings us to an important question about 2022 with respect to our ministry and the ministry of our church. Have we come to the point in our lives where we realize that unless his special presence is going with us, the journey, the goals that he gives us will not be accomplished? So I want you to remember key point number 2 from this teaching today. Moses says that this is how the people of God should be known. The nations around will know that this people is the people of God because they will see that his awesome, amazing, powerful, and precious presence is obviously at work around them. So point number two, God's people, whether individuals or collectively as a church, should be characterized by the special presence of God being present and demonstrated in their lives and in their churches. Wouldn't that be an amazing attribute that people would notice among you and I as believers if we were known by the fact that people could sense the presence of God at work in our lives? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Wouldn't that be an amazing testimony if when people heard the name Chesley Community Church that they would automatically think, wow, that's a little church where God's presence is felt and known, where God's presence is experienced. That's the place where people say they can sense His presence in a special way. Now, I happen to believe that coming to this realization, the same conclusion that Moses came to thousands of years ago, is just as critical today as it was in the day of Moses. I happen to believe that unless we are seeking, welcoming, and embracing the special presence of God in our lives and in the life of our church, we will simply not be as effective for the kingdom of God as He's calling us as individuals and as a church to be. Now, I began a few minutes ago by asking you to recall some times in your life when God's special presence was manifested in a powerful way. And I just want to share two or three of those from my own life. Years ago, Connie and I moved to a place called Smiths Falls, beautiful town. And we began attending a church there. It was the custom of that church to have a time after the evening service where we would be invited to come to the altar just to pray and to seek His presence. We did that regularly on Sunday evening after the Sunday evening service. And I remember in one of those evenings when we went to the altar and some of us were sitting around and others were kneeling, and God's awesome presence just came in like a flood. And several of us spontaneously slipped off our shoes because of the sense that we were on holy ground. This is holy ground. I love that chorus. We are standing on holy ground. And I sense the presence of the Lord is all around. It was a special time, a God moment, a memorable moment. And it's interesting that we went, after that time, we went through several months in that church where every Sunday morning, with one exception, over several months, Connie knows that I'm telling the truth here, someone came to the Lord every Sunday morning. That's amazing. That church almost doubled in size in a few months. It was such an awesome work of God. It was a time when God's special presence was felt, and God's special presence was doing some amazing things. It was, incidentally, among other things, the impetus that launched Connie and I into weekend ministry with the youth of the church and eventually Bible school training that opened doors for ministry in the Middle East. I want to share one story from the Middle East. I was in an office one night working overtime with a counterpart of mine, a Muslim gentleman, and he was talking politics and what was happening somehow or other, the conversation, there were sacrifices being prepared for Hajj and all these sheep that were sacrificed. And I started sharing simply about how we don't need to sacrifice animals anymore because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins once for all time. And as I began to share, the presence of God just filled that office, and the Holy Spirit moved through my simple life and brought to mind scriptures on that theme that I didn't even realize I knew. And as I began to share those, the presence was amazing. And that young man, eventually tears filled his eyes and he got up and left the room because it was so powerful. I don't know when that happened in my first term, but I came home and went back after a year or so, and he had moved on to another area of the company. But one night I met him at a party that we were having on the street. He came over with a friend, and he had jumped up and hugged me, and introduced me to his friend and looked me right in the eye and he said, "Mr. Dave and I have had some good conversations, haven't we?" And I knew exactly what he was talking about. The presence, the tangible presence of God. I remember a story, true story in Sable Beach. One morning I was preaching on, "Is Your Name Written in the Lamb's Book of Life?" A young couple came to the altar after and wanted to make sure their name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know whether they'd ever been there before or not, maybe once or twice at the most. And they shared in that conversation that they just sensed the presence of God as they entered the building. That was the reason that they came to the altar, not because of my preaching. And I want to make this very clear. We should not be trying to imitate or even ask God for an experience identical to someone else's. I only cite these as examples of the myriad of ways that the awesome, dynamic presence of God can take over a situation or a circumstance that we deem to be impossible. You know, with God and His awesome presence, all things are possible. With God's presence, the things that we deem impossible, God can work wonders and miracles so that His purposes can and will be accomplished. We need to open our eyes to see like Moses, to see the absolutely critical need for God's awesome presence as we are faced with situations and circumstances deemed difficult, maybe impossible. So here's the closing question for us this morning. Do you think it's important? Do you think it's critical that we, like Moses, can in all humility admit that we desperately need a supernatural manifestation of His presence? Can we be bold enough like Moses to say, "Lord, we need Your awesome presence, and unless Your presence goes with us, there's no sense in trying to accomplish what You're calling us to do." Can we be bold like that? Can we on a personal level pray, "Lord, I need Your special, powerful, amazing presence in my life. I need it because I want to accomplish what You have planned and ordained for me. And I need Your special, powerful, and amazing presence in my church if we are to accomplish what You have planned and ordained for us as a ministry." It's important, folks. It's critical that we realize we need to be seeking and welcoming the presence of God in our own lives, the lives of our churches, and in the life of our world. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the many illustrations of Your amazing, dynamic, awesome, holy presence in the lives of ordinary people called to do ordinary things. Lord, we stand here on the closing days of 2021 not even knowing what the rules are for tomorrow, but much less what You're going to be asking us to be doing in 2022. Help us to open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to hear from You. May Your Holy Spirit fill us with the assurance that for those who hunger and thirst after Your awesome presence, the deal You made with Moses is the deal You make with us. You'll go with us, Lord. Help us to take the first step. Help us to be willing to be used by You. We ask this in Your amazing, wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.